how you're witnessing to antagonists, it's all important. So often when somebody wants to get on our case for being a Christian, or they slander us for being a Christian, we want to come back on them. We want to jump down their throat. We want to give back what we're getting from them. Don't do it. If you come down on a person just for self-respect reasons, they're not going to want to give in to you with your bad attitude. I wouldn't want to give in to somebody if they have a bad attitude toward me. I'm going to hold to my position even though I might be wrong. Paul doesn't deal that way, but he's conciliatory. He's kind.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Our hearts begin to worship. We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 22 with a message titled Paul's Testimony.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we
Well, why don't we turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 22. Just love the book of Acts. Just the spirit of revival that comes in the book of Acts. And if you had been with us last time, we talked about four principles that you really want to use when you're witnessing or when you're sharing with others. And that's what we see Paul do in these first 21 verses. Three times he gives his testimony, at least that's written down here in the scripture. There might have been more, but we have those that are written down. And what we find here in these 21 verses, as I mentioned last time, this is how we want to present ourselves to people. We find in the first five verses, I said, be real. Paul is very real. And also within those five verses, be kind. You'll see how kind Paul is to his detractors and to those that want to kill him. And then in verses 6 to 13, we said, be relevant. Be relevant when you're talking to others. Don't be pie in the sky kind of speech. And then that last part, the fourth thing in verses 14 to 21, be prophetic. Be prophetic. Speak about not only in the past, present, but in the future, what God has for you in the future. And you could get that full message. I think it's online. Steph has put it online. You could get that and you could go through that. But we're going to go through that systematically the way Paul did. So here, Paul finally, after 20 years so desiring to preach to the Jews in Jerusalem, his fellow brethren. The last time he was there, they didn't want to listen to him. He was basically, the Lord said, get out of town. You know, it's not good for you to be here. So 20 years later, he comes back. And now he's able to speak to them. Almost a riot there in the temple. Paul's trying to accommodate the Christians there who, they love the Lord, but they also love the law. It's kind of an oxymoron. And so Paul gives in to them and said, you know what? They think that you're against everything that's Jewish. So if you just go in the temple and show that, no, you're for them. So he does. But then it almost creates a riot there because those antagonists that come down from other places, they stir up trouble. And so Paul is taken away by the commander there of the Roman garrison. He's going up the steps to the Antonia fortress. He finally says, hey, wait a minute. Let me talk to the people. Let me talk to them. And the commander says, you know Greek and you know Hebrew? He says, yes, I do. Let me talk to him. So there's Paul on the steps of the Antonia fortress and looking down over this mob of people. It was packed, giant audience. And so notice what he says here. picking it up in verse 21. I'll read the first five verses where we talked about we really want to be real and we want to be kind when we do speak. And then we'll talk a little bit more about those verses. But when it came about, that was chapter 22. Brethren and fathers, now Paul is addressing that crowd. Hear my defense, which I now offer to you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city of and educated under Gamaliel. Brought up in this city in Jerusalem, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are also today. And I persecuted the way. That's the church. That's what they called the church in the beginning, the way. When they used the term Christian in Corinth, it was a term of derision, a term of hatred. But it really was, the church was the way. And I persecuted it to the death, binding and putting both men and women in prison, as also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. So here, notice Paul starts out. Now, these are those that just wanted to kill him. He says, brethren and fathers. Now, one of the interesting things, if you did go back to chapter 7, when they were stoning Stephen, and here he was Saul of Tarsus at that point, that as a Pharisee. Now he's Paul the Apostle, name change. He was holding the coats and voting for those that were stoning Stephen. And remember Stephen's opening remarks? Stephen said the same thing. He said, brothers and fathers. Interesting how that stuck in Paul's mind. And now Paul is using that same terminology. Because the fathers, well, those were the Jewish elders and teachers. And brothers, they were Jews, brothers. You see, he's respectful and he's conciliatory. You see, and he says, my defense. Here, my defense. This is what I want to defend myself with or say to you. Now, he does all this to disarm them because they're in riot mode. And it's not, you see, Paul, he doesn't say, let me tell you guys where you're wrong. He doesn't say that. You know, that's going to alienate. That's not going to bring them to Paul. You see, how we approach an argument is all important. How you're witnessing to antagonists, it's all important. So often when somebody wants to get on our case for being a Christian or they slander us for being a Christian, we want to come back on them. We want to jump down their throat. We want to give back what we're getting from them. Don't do it. Don't do it. How you deal is how you're going to affect that person. If you're angry or you're haughty or you're condescending, it's like, you know, an unsaved person, even when I was unsaved, I'll fight for the right, for my rights, even if I'm wrong. I'll fight to be right, and even though I might know I'm wrong, for self-respect. If you come down on a person just for self-respect reasons, they're not going to want to give in to you with your bad attitude. I wouldn't want to give in to somebody if they have a bad attitude toward me. I'm going to hold to my position even though I think I might be wrong. And so Paul doesn't deal with that way. But he's conciliatory. He's kind. He uses I words, not you words. Usually husband and wife, you know, when they get in an argument, it's you don't do this, you don't do that, you never, you. No, use I words. I feel this way. I thought I words. That's what Paul is doing. I words instead of you words. With respectful tones. So important. You see, with that, you may win a person over to your side. Just simply being that way. Communication is very interesting, and those that study that, very interesting, those that have done deep studies, they will say that 7% of communication, my communication with you, are the words, the exact words that I'm speaking. That's 7%. 38% is the tone of voice. The tone of voice, what is the tone of voice? Is it demanding? Is it haughty? Is it accusative? You see, a tone of voice. Sometimes they can't hear the words because of your tone of voice. And also, they say that 55% is the body language. The body language. You know, I could say to you, I kind of end my Facebook, I say, we love you at Calvary Chapel and I love you. You know, it's easier to say it into a device than say it face to face with somebody. But I mean, you can mean it that way. I could say, I love you. That tone of voice, that's pretty good. Or if you're angry at somebody and you go, I love you. I mean, they don't hear the words. The words don't mean anything. The tone of voice and that body language, that says everything. And so, you see, Paul is saying, here's my defense. Defense. He's not the Greek word is apologia. He's not apologizing for being a Christian. It's a theological word for apologetics. It's evidence proving your position. Evidence for the reason why you're believing. Boy, I loved it because I was a Christian in the days of Walter Martin, and maybe many of you were. He was the epitome of the Bible answer man, and that's what they called him, Bible answer man. We had him over here once years ago, Walter Martin. I think Don Stewart is so good as well. But you see, they're apologetic people. They give defense for the faith. They give reasons for the faith. And notice how he identifies with them. We already read it in second and third verse, where he speaks in the Hebrew dialect, and he also talks about this city that he was brought up in, Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up there, but educated in Jerusalem. So notice he's bridging the gap with all the people, identifying with them. Now, the mob expected him to speak Greek. They didn't know who he was. Not many knew who Paul was. They didn't recognize him. You know, even the church hadn't heard too much about him. And so he's speaking to them in their native language. You see, that's a real plus to them. And so Paul is identifying with them in all respects. Tarsus, verse 3, that first city in Cilicia, and one of the great port cities of the Mediterranean. And that city was known for one of the greatest universities in the ancient world. And so there's the testimony. The testimony to deal with the Hellenistic Jews and also the Jews in Jerusalem. Here are the Greek-speaking Jews. So he could identify with the Hellenistic Jews because he adopted that culture there in Tarsus, plus the Jerusalem Jews, raised under Gamaliel. In other words, he's saying, I'm a homeboy. I am one of you. I'm raised in Jerusalem under Gamaliel. That was my mentor. I was at his feet, and that's always what the disciples were always at the feet of the rabbis, and the rabbis would sit in a higher place, you know, and speak to them. And that's why he's saying he was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. And he was the most eminent of teachers of the time. He was the leader of the school of Hillel. A lot of different types of school, Shammah, Akaba, different types of school. Some were more liberal than others. Some were very conservative and strict. And Hillel was very strict. And Gamaliel was called the glory of the law. Now, he had died about 5 years before Paul was preaching, and they said of him, the glory of the law has departed, because he was such a powerful rabbi, such a powerful man of the Torah, of the Old Testament. and here Paul educated under him. What a perfect combination to speak to these people. In Greek cities, yeah, Paul could identify with them. Greek cities in Athens and Corinth, yes. That dual ministry to the Jews, where he'd go into the synagogue where the Jews were, and then he would go into the marketplace where the Greeks were. What a man. What a man of God. A man that had a full range of ministry with all kinds of people. And he talks about him being zealous for God like you are, he says, of them. Zealous for God. Zealous in what way? Well, he was a persecutor of the church. And even the high priest Ananias can verify this. Ananias can vouch for me because he gave me extradition papers to take those from Damascus and bring them to Jerusalem to imprison them. You see, Paul is setting the stage for them, setting the stage so that they will listen to him. And you know, when he talks about that word zealous, it can be a very good term for those that are zealous for the right things. It can be a very bad term for those that are zealous for the wrong term. It means to be stirred up to the boiling. I mean, you're white hot for whatever you believe in. And some of these radical Muslims, yeah, they're white hot. They're so white hot, they want to kill anyone that doesn't believe the way they do. And, whoa, wait a minute. That kind of the carnal nature, that sin nature, that can move over into what we're seeing here. Because Paul was stirred up in that same way. Just like those that are rioting and want to take Paul and rip him from, you know, limb to limb. And so Paul is referring to this unruly mob when he talked about this being zealous. They wanted to kill him. I was just like you, Paul is saying. Interesting how he's making that connection, but he's using the I word, me. You see, he's drawing them in, and just as Paul had misdirected zeal, stirring up to the boiling point and wanting to squash out this Christianity, they were stirred up to the boiling point, wanting to squash out Paul's preaching and teaching and this Christ. Paul is saying, my zeal drove me to do what you're doing right now to me, and I did it to others. You see that in 4 and 5. Now, notice at this point, you know, where we've gone so far, because we said, be real, be kind. So far, Paul was not ridiculing them. Paul was not indicting them at all. I don't think it's good to indict people. I think you'll lose them if you do that. You see, it's always best to use yourself as the negative example, as Paul's doing, and let those who you are talking to, let them make the connection to their own life. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can do that. I think so often we get so zealous, we want to do that. We want to force feed someone. Sometimes with an unsaved mate, you want to force feed them. I remember years ago, you know, when my wife was not saved, and, you know, it was about a year, you know, I was saved, and it was almost, we were just at divorce time, but then I got saved, and, you know, I started coming toward her, and she was still, you know, negative toward me and Christ, because, you know, I'd messed things up so much. And I remember the Lord showing me just kind of a vision in my mind's eye. I remember me, like, I had my hands on my wife's shoulders. Now, you know, the back of her head was here, shoulders, you know, and she's facing this way. And I remember the Lord just showed me how I'm trying to steer her the way I want her to go. And I remember the Lord said to me, Bill, take your hands off of her. She's my daughter. I'll direct her. I'll lead her. And I can remember again in my mind's eye just doing this, taking my hands off of her. And amazing, it wasn't long after that how she came to the Lord. She just became the most godly woman. Now, there weren't other times you know, where I, you know, because you always have problems. There weren't other times in my marriage where I didn't want to put my hands back on her, you know, and, you know, kind of like that. But, you know, you always go through those times. But it's always best to make you the brunt of the problem and let the Holy Spirit do the convicting. Notice Paul, he talks about, now he's going to talk about when we deal with be relevant, verses 6 to 13. Talks about light a lot. And he says in verse 6, and it came about that as I was on my way, again, here's his testimony, approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. And I fell to the ground and I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who are with me beheld the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. So they heard a sound, but they didn't understand the articulation of that sound, because it was specifically to Paul. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise, go on into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the blindness or the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a man who was devout or loved the Lord, basically, by the standard of the law and well spoken of by the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near to me said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at the very time I looked up at him. So here the light, blinding light. In one of his other testimonies, he talks about this light that was brighter than the midday sun. I mean, so bright, and it blinded him. It kind of matched the spiritual blindness that he had. So often when you see Jesus healing a blind Bartimaeus or blind men, it's like they were spiritually blind, and the illustration of giving them a physical sight, he also at the same time gave spiritual sight.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 22, titled Paul's Testimony. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 22. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.